Haven't done this in a long time. I don't remember how to do it, so you might have to help me through it. I debated for a while and for several weeks now, once I had been asked to preach, what would be a good message for today, for us, for this church. And I think putting God in His place, in His rightful place, is what we need to be thinking about. No matter what we face, no matter what we deal with, we need to put Him in His rightful place. I think we have a tendency, at least some of us, to get confused about that. What is God's place in our lives? And that is where He should be in relationship to everything else in our life. Maybe you're really successful in your job, maybe have a lot of nice things and the ability to get those things if you want them. Or maybe you're on the opposite of that. Things aren't that great financially, but you're getting by and you're happy most of the time. Two extremes. Yet it doesn't describe everyone, does it? Either way, you may be happy and feel like everything's mostly good. Or maybe you feel like everything's mostly okay, but something isn't totally right. Something's missing. No matter where you find yourself today, between those two extremes, I believe it's very important to find out where God fits in the picture. The picture for you, the picture for me. Where does He fit? Someone has said that there is a God-sized and God-shaped hole in each and every one of us that only God can fill. It's profound, but it's very, if you think about it, it's very true. Nothing can take that place for fulfillment. What place does God have in your life today? Where have you put Him in your priorities? What is His place in your life overall? Is that important to you? Turn with me to the book of James, or it's going to be on the screen as well. I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures today, so I put almost all of them, I believe, on the screen. Let's read this. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that He jealously longs for the Spirit He has caused to dwell in us? But He gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And that was James chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. So we all have desires in us that may sometimes make us wish we had more, that we had it better, that things were different for us. We want better homes, better cars maybe, more things maybe, better things. We want to make more money. We want to look better. We want to feel better. You know, even Christians will quarrel and fight each other or fight other Christians, according to the Scripture. The first couple of verses that I just read is actually talking about the results of choosing pleasure instead of God and quarreling over it. The Christians James were writing to, were here praying, yes, but they were going to God with selfish motives. And we can do that. We can pray with all the wrong motives. They were leaving God out of their plans and out of their desires. James called them adulterous because they were choosing the world over God. They were developing a worldly attitude, and the things of the world had a higher priority than God in their lives. James is saying that they were guilty of spiritual unfaithfulness, if you will. God was being put in a lower place in their lives. And in verse 5, we see that God desires and is jealous of his people's love and devotion. James then points out to the readers in verse 6 that they have been given sufficient grace from God to turn back to God and resist the appeal of the world. In other words, all hope is not lost. Let's move on. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. James is saying that they needed to put God in his rightful place in their lives. They needed to submit to him. They needed to put him first. They needed to be humble, not proud. James is saying that submission is surrendering one's will, which leads to obedience. James is saying that as powerful as Satan might be in your life, he will flee from you if you resist the desire for earthly things and you put God first in your life. He is saying that Satan can be resisted. The reader is instructed to turn from the world and come near to God. Wash your hands and purify your hearts, James says, in order to make one's conduct pure and one's thoughts and motives pure. In verse 9, James wants the reader to seriously consider the road they were on and the mistake they were making of loving the world too much and turning away from those desires that they needed to turn away from their desires. Then he said to humble themselves and again put God first in their lives. Don't allow the pleasures of this world to come over God. Don't allow anything to come over God. Your worries, your cares, your pleasures, all of them need to be put below God. God needs to be first. I think we need to be careful, just like James is talking to the people then, we need to be careful in the same regard. We can't let this world become so important to us that we leave God behind. Having nice things isn't a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with it, but it can turn into a bad thing. If having those things is more important to you, to me, than God is to us, there's something wrong. The priorities are wrong. If anything is standing in the way of God, putting God first in our lives, we need to fix it. In a sense, those things, or that thing even, becomes an idol to us. They become our God. What we think of more than anything else becomes our God. Isaiah 45, verses 5 and 6 says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other. God's a jealous God. Whatever has first place in our lives is what we think of the most, and our relationship with God suffers if he's not in first place. Someone asked the question, if God seems too far away, which one of you moved? Well, it wasn't God. He is steadfast and true. He stays by our side through anything we face. But when our focus becomes blurred by wants and desires, the relationship between us and God becomes distant. He didn't move away. We moved away by letting things in between us and Him. Another scripture, Psalm 83:18. Let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the Most High over all the earth. Excuse me. God is the Most High over all the earth. He needs to be the Most High over each of our lives as well. He needs to be first place in our lives so that we might have a closer relationship with Him. So how do we do that? How can I put God first in my life, you may ask? Well, I have some suggestions for you that hopefully will help you keep God first. And to help you commit this to memory, you can put this in the form of the acrostic LIFE. L-I-F-E, LIFE. Number one, put God first in loyalty and worship. Love God above everything else. Jesus died on the cross for you, and you matter more than you can know to God the Father. Remember in James 4 that James said to submit yourselves to God, we need to love God more than anything else. Submit yourself to God. No matter what you do, do it all for the glory of the Lord. Psalm 34:3 says, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. So while on the job, work like you would if God was signing your paycheck every week. In Luke 4, verse 8, Jesus said, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Don't let anything keep you from worshiping God. Call on the name of Jesus and worship Him daily. Make worshiping Him a way of life. Make it a way that you live your life daily. God wants to be involved in your life. Give Him first place in what you're loyal to and worship Him only. So for the letter L, put God first in loyalty and worship. Number two, put God first in issues and decisions. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. When you are troubled by something, seek God. Spend time in the Word and in prayer. Spend time with God and allow Him to help you through what you're facing. No matter what it is, good or bad. Sometimes we have some pretty tough issues. Disease, catastrophes, shattered dreams. You fill in the blank. We've all had things that we've dealt with that are pretty tough. And if you haven't, you will. God wants to be involved in the issues you face. Talking to Him builds a relationship between us and Him that no one can tear apart. Involve God in the issues you face. Proverbs 20, verse 24 says, a man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand His own way? Seek God in the decisions you make. Look for His guidance when you're contemplating a new job or a new purchase, a new move. Allow Him to bring to mind things you hadn't thought of. And you simply do that by just being quiet a minute and listening to Him. God wants to be involved in your decisions. God knows what is best for you. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 48, verse 7. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. Understand that when you seek God on an issue or decision, there may not be and probably won't be an audible word from God or even a miraculous sign from Him. But what you will get if you seek Him earnestly is a peace about what you've decided to do. And don't ever forget that there's other ways to figure out if you're doing what God wants you to do, and that's by using other people, Christian friends and family members. Take heed to their advice and to their what they tell you about what you're contemplating. And then, not lastly at all, is the Word of God. Use the Word of God to confirm or refute what you're thinking as well. Because if it's not something that God's in, it's not something you should be in. So for the letter I, put God first in issues and decisions. Number three, put God first in friendships and relationships. This isn't always easy. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." Talking specifically about marriage, I believe marriages that are successful are the ones grounded in Christ. And friendships that have God as their foundation are more successful, more likely to succeed. When we love and honor in both marriages and friendships, we have a better chance of getting through the hard times, because we're going to have them, because we are much more likely to put God first in that relationship. When God is in the picture, there's that third party to help resolve the differences. I think about Brenda and I. We've been married 40-some years now, and there's been times we've had to lean on God. We couldn't do it ourselves. We couldn't figure out how to make it through this issue or make it through that issue. We had sometimes lean heavier on Him than other times. So when God's in the picture, there's that third party to help resolve the differences. And I believe He helped us in a lot of ways. And it helps the two parties turn to God together for reconciliation, for whatever the issue is. He then acts as the bridge, the glue, if you will, that holds the relationship together, that brings it back together. There also needs to be forgiveness in relationships, because you're going to get mad. You're going to have things that you didn't appreciate happening, and you're going to have to have forgiveness, or you can't make it through it. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." God wants to be involved in your life, every aspect of it. Give Him first place in your friendships and your relationships. So for the letter F, it's put God first in friendships and relationships. Number four is put God first in earnings and finances. Real tough one. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans." Like Trevor said earlier, everything we have is owned by God. He owns the world, the universe. It's all His. God gave us life. He gives us our every breath. It's hard to sometimes make decisions about finances. But if we seek God's help in our finances, understanding that He owns it anyway, you'd be surprised how much help there is to find there. And I know probably every one of you here realizes that everything is God's. But how do you put God first in this area? Well, first of all, you should trust Him. Trust God to determine what you should regularly give, or tithing as it's called, to further the kingdom through the church and the community. Seek God on this to help you determine what you should be able to give. Bottom line, some of your income goes back to God. And again, that amount is between you and God. And it also shows that you trust Him. You know that if you give to Him, even though it's out of maybe little, and He helps you through it, He knows you're trusting Him. We also need to seek God's wisdom when we are establishing our personal budgets. Believe me, it will really help. I believe that before we go into any financial agreement, we should have spent time in prayer about it. It really will help. God wants to be involved in our finances. As we all, many of us, if not all of us, know here, finances can tear things up. They can literally break a person. So get God involved in that area of your life. Ask Him how to spend your money. Pray about it regularly. Open His Word and see what His Word has to say about money. Seek God in your finances. God wants to be involved in all areas of your life. Give Him first place in earnings and finances. So for the letter E, put God first in earnings and finances. So, L is loyalty and worship. I is issues and decisions. F is friendships and relationships. E is earnings and finances. Where does God stand in your life? If you were to evaluate that this morning, does He have a place? Because if He doesn't have a place, we got to fix that too. We got to work on that. But no matter what, the place He deserves is first. The place that is going to benefit you the most and me the most is if His place is first. If you put God first in your life, He will draw near to you because He is faithful. Let's read Hebrews 10, starting at verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. So, if we put God first in our lives will change for the better. That's what I believe. It won't happen overnight necessarily, but if you trust God to make a difference in your life, one step at a time, He will. If you are here this morning and want us to pray with you about something you're struggling with, or anything for that matter, please let us know. And if you are here this morning and have questions about becoming a Christian, or you're already a Christian and maybe want to place membership here, we'd love to have that happen. Don't hesitate to reach out to us. Pray with me. Father God, we come before You this morning. We're thankful that we have the option and the ability to put You first in everything that we deal with, every plan we want to accomplish or set up, everything we deal with, good and bad. Father, help us to make the decisions that glorify You. Help us to make decisions that include You. Help us to put You first in every area of our lives, especially the four we talked about this morning. And we ask, Lord, that as the day goes on today, that we pray, Lord, that the weather will be nice to us. And we pray, Lord, that You'll protect those who possibly are already in bad weather. And we ask You be with them. Father, no matter what, help us to put You first. I pray for each and every one here this morning that You'll just bless their lives. Be with us as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing one more song together.